So let's get the latest on all things crude oil and energy. We welcome Dr. Ellen Wald. She's a president of Transversal Consulting. She's also a non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Global Energy Center and a contributor to Bloomberg Opinion. She's based in Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Wald, thanks so much for joining us. How should we kind of frame what has been some of these tensions rising out of the Middle East in terms of some attacks on the energy infrastructure?
Well, if you look at what's actually happened in comparison to all of the rhetoric and the rising tensions, the actual activity has been relatively minor. I think that we're making a very big deal out of things that haven't really shown to have a great effect. So on Sunday morning, we saw that there were, I believe, four tankers that experienced some sort of minor damage to their hulls as they were sitting in a port in the UAE near Fujairah. Two of them were Saudi tankers, and I think two were Norwegian tankers. None of them were carrying oil, so there were no spills, nothing of the sort. And when you look at the pictures, the damage looks relatively minor. Now, obviously, you don't want to send any damaged tankers out into the ocean. But then today, we heard reports that of a drone attack on what's called the East-West Pipeline in Saudi Arabia. And this is a pipeline that runs basically from Dhahran on Saudi Arabia's eastern coast all the way to the west coast to a port city of Yanbu, and it carries about 5 million barrels a day of oil. That's a fairly large amount of oil across the entire country. It's fairly far into Saudi Arabia, and the preliminary assessment appears to be that Houthi forces from Yemen staged this drone attack. Apparently, they do have this kind of capabilities, but it is fairly far into the country. Now, the reason that this is significant is because the East-West pipeline is a really important way for Saudi Arabia to avoid two very contentious choke points in the Middle East. The first is the Strait of Hormuz, which is in the access point to the Persian Gulf. And then the second is the Bab al-Mandab, which is where the opening to the Red Sea is. So if Saudi Arabia wants to send tankers with its oil to Europe or to the United States, it's got to go through the Suez Canal, and it's going to have to transit both the Strait of Hormuz and the Bab al-Mandab to get there. This pipeline that goes across the entire country to this port means that Saudi Arabia can bypass those choke points. And in fact, the Saudis had planned to expand the capacity basically to further avoid these choke points in coming years. So the fact that this pipeline is vulnerable, and it doesn't seem that there's been a whole lot of damage. Aramco said this was minor damage. There was a fire. They contained it, and they're assessing it, but they did shut down this pipeline. They don't expect any disruptions to oil production or exports as a result. But, of course, we have to see. When Russia had contamination on their pipeline, They didn't expect it to be out of commission for that long either.
Well, so here's a let's broaden out a little bit, because clearly it seems like Saudi Arabia is pretty keen on blaming Iran and sort of engendering some of the bad feelings that already are existing. And meanwhile, you've got the U.S. and Iran with their escalating feud, Mike Pompeo heading over to Brussels to try to deal with this escalating tensions. I'm just wondering, what is the consequence to the price of oil if we do get a more significant conflict with Iran over oil? To me, that's the main question. How much do prices rise?
Well, right now we've only really seen like a 1% or 1.5% jump from each of these incidents. So I think the key is that these aren't really causing much movement in oil prices, and I think that shows that oil markets are waiting to see. You know, they're waiting for something significant to actually happen in order for prices to really rise. You know, we've got news today that OPEC doesn't expect demand to be rising all that much. So we've got all sorts of other news. The China trade wars have been depressing prices. It really does seem like unless there's some really, really significant conflict that breaks out, we're not going to see a big movement in oil prices. And that's a real question of whether or not if this is Iran's idea of escalating, it's not really that big a deal.
what happens, again, it's, you know, like, there's this reports out there that the U.S. may be considering sending some troops. What do you think is the catalyst that would really spook markets from a geopolitical issue over there?
I'd say if we saw massive troops actually being mobilized and sent to the region, that would absolutely cause a spike in oil prices. You know, the movement of these aircraft carriers to the region really wasn't all that significant because they were scheduled to go there anyway. This was just speeding it up. I think we'd have to see actual troop movements to the area to actually get oil to be pushed up.
Very good. Dr. Ellen Wald, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Wald is the president of Transversal Consulting, non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Global Energy Center, and of course, a contributor to Bloomberg Opinion.